Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, back in the Sunshine State. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 8th, 2011, episode 201, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie. How are you? Did you make it home from your big trip?
We did make it home. It was a very exciting adventure in Pagosa Springs, and driving home, stopped by the Grand Canyon, you know, just popped over to the Grand Canyon, and my husband, for the first time, got to see the Grand Canyon from the ground, like the regular people way, because all he ever does is fly at Mach 2 in his fighter jet over the Grand Canyon super fast, so he's like, this is really pretty. I've never really seen it before because they go so fast over it.
Yeah, from 30,000 feet, it looks a little different.
Well, yeah, and if he went 30,000 feet up, then it'd be one thing. But I think more like they like to go really low and scream over it.
Oh.
Because why not? Because he can. Yeah, he's like, usually I'm going really low and really fast when I go over this thing. So it was nice to sit out there and watch it. And thanks for giving me Friday off. I actually slept in for one of my vacation days. And
wow.
It was a great trip. I did not realize, though, and I cannot believe that not one stinking listener of ours mentioned it, that Pagosa Springs, Colorado, is the home to a very famous horse trainer. And when I was there on Friday night, we went out to dinner, and I noticed that every single person in this restaurant and in the surrounding areas and in the downtown area and everywhere had this particular horse trainer's shirt on, like his logo. And I just kept thinking, what is up with all these Pirelli people everywhere? And it turns out that Pat Pirelli and Linda Pirelli's training facility is right there in Pagosa Springs. Not one stinking person mentioned that to me. However, so I did drive by it and see it, and I took a picture zooming by, but it just looks like any other farm, so it's nothing exciting.
Okay. You didn't stop in to say hi?
I didn't pop in to say see Pat and Linda. No, did not.
No.
Probably would have called security. So anyway, I'm just like, it was just so funny. I'm like, why do all these people have Pirelli shirts on? Am I at a Pirelli convention and I didn't know it? No, it's all his employees going out to the bar on a Friday night. So it was kind of funny.
Well, now we know where the Pirelli people hang out on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, the brew pub in downtown Pagosa Springs. Just go there. I have expected to see Pat and Linda. I didn't.
But you were looking. You were looking.
I was looking. It would have been like a celebrity viewing, I would imagine. So I wonder if they go out into downtown and anybody knows who they are, or do people go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's Pat and Linda. They're here at a restaurant. Get them to sign a photo. How do you think people react to them around there?
I don't know. Or is it the other way? Because they probably come in with an entourage like the president and stop traffic. Do you think that they get mad when they come in to town?
Oh, they're like, oh, the Pirelli people are here
again.
Push a bunch of tables together.
All hands on deck. Can't get a table. The Pirelli people are in town. Got to call ahead.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. I was curious. I didn't know. When we were leaving our bed and breakfast, the lady was like, oh, you've been doing your horse radio show from upstairs, you know? And she goes, are you a Pirelli person? And I was like, what? And now I understand that question because I had no idea why she would ask me that.
That's just what we know about modern horse trainers, doesn't it?
I know. I would have thought at least one of our listeners would have said, oh, my gosh, you're like in Pagosa Springs where Pat and Linda's farm is. Awesome. Not one. Not one of you knew.
Now you know that we don't have any Pirelli people listening. That probably
I know. I said that, too, and I said, this is terrible. I can't even repeat it. I'm not even going to repeat it.
Yeah, don't say
never
it.
Mind.
Jennifer, what's on today's show?
Sorry, I had to pick myself up off the floor. I was laughing so hard. On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it is not Freestyle Friday, but it is Potty Do Monday, because Glenn and Jamie will be tag-teaming all of the mind-blowing horsey headlines from personal adventures from the weekend. And after that, we'll visit the police blotter with Rick Wagner, who is a mounted patrol police dude in California, surely going to have some fascinating stories. And, of course, the dramatic reading of Black Beauty drags on.
Oh, you watch your mouth, woman.
Sort of like
my God.
Strangled. And from all indication, the punch is going to pop any paragraph now.
Okay,
stop,
I'm gonna.
Because he say that Black Beauty is dragging on like a bad case of strangles? Oh my God! Okay, anybody listening to the sound of my voice, I need you to go and publicly scold Jennifer on our Facebook page because I know that I have Black Beauty lovers out there. They're out there. They must be. Good Lord. Okay, Daily Winnie, go ahead. I'm mad now.
On here, my first Daily Winnie was going to be different today, and now I think we need it as a family here today for a little family bonding. My first Daily Winnie was going to be to the two of you, to Jamie and to Jennifer, and to congratulate you because on Friday we hit 200 episodes.
Woohoo!
200 episodes. Who would have thought?
Just cheers.
Is that a
bark?
Is that Boomer agreeing?
Boomer's kind of excited about that. Come here.
You said woohoo, and he did.
I know. He looked at me like, where are we going? What are you doing?
200 episodes.
That's awesome. That is awesome, you guys. Congrats. Thanks for keeping me around for 200 episodes. You must be just about sick of me by now.
actually, we're kind of looking forward, and we get to see you this weekend, so we're kind of looking forward to it. We get to see you for a change.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very excited to go up to Philadelphia this weekend to see you guys. It's going to be really fun, and I'm sure a nice weather break. I would hope. What's the weather like in Philadelphia right now?
It's been hot. They've had over 100 degrees, too, now. It probably will be a little cooler when you arrive. We're supposed to cool off here too, so it's probably going to be in the 80s. You'll like it.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. That'll be perfect. But yeah, I'm excited to see you guys too. Did you have another Daily Winnie?
Yes, I do, but I first have to say that 1 month from now, on September the 5th, will be our 1 year anniversary. We started this show on September the 5th, 2010. Was that it? Or was it, let me look here. No, it was November the 1st. We actually put out our first sample show on September the 5th. So we were working together for a month or two before we came out with the first show. So the first show was on November the 1st.
Yeah, I was like, wait, September? What are you talking about?
But you guys deserve this. And I think you deserve it more for putting up with me than anything else. My second Daily Winnie goes out to the terrific listeners of Horses in the Morning, our army here at Horses in the Morning. Because, you know, Jamie was out on Friday, and Templeton Thompson came in, and she filled in on Friday. It was all fun, and we had giggles and stuff. And she also, you know, started this new project for putting out a new album and is asking for people's help, sort of like PBS does. And she started out earlier in the day, before the show started on Friday, with some donations that had already been made. Do you realize that we more than tripled those donations on Friday, thanks to the listeners of Horses in the Morning? And
Yay!
She's very appreciative. She sent me a nice email Saturday morning and was thrilled. So, you know, she was just so excited that the listeners came out and supported her like that. And, you know, if you want to learn more about what she was talking about, take a listen back to Friday's show or just go to her website at templetonthompson.com. And as promised, her friend Patty Hall came on the show with her, actually called in on Friday to chat with her. She's also a singer-songwriter for out in the West Coast. And she also did a version of Happy House. They wrote that song together. Templeton recorded her version. Patty also recorded her own version and sent it to me. So today's song is going to be Patty's version of Happy House, which does sound completely different. So you can look forward to hearing that a little bit later in the show. And do you have one, Jamie?
I do.
Oh.
But just to comment on yours, Templeton Thompson is just such a fabulous woman. And I was, you know, I'm not going to say I was hurt. And I'm not going to say that I was offended. But the amount of people that posted on Facebook how awesome Friday's show was a little upsetting to me. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I'll take a vacation day. I'm going to sleep in. I'm not even going to tune into the show. I'm just going to lay in my bed. And then I log on to Facebook later. Everybody's like, oh, my God, it was the best show ever. We love Templeton, blah, blah, blah. And basically, he was saying to me underneath all of that, get rid of Jamie.
Screw you, Jamie.
That's okay. That's okay. 200 more episodes, we'll see if Templeton fills in again. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Oh, gosh. No, that was awesome. She's fantastic. I adore her. My daily winnie goes to, if you remember, on Thursday, I gave my daily winnie to one of my students, Joanna Norman, because she was going, we'd been talking to this woman about buying some horse. And I leave town, and Joanna basically buys the thing over the phone, says, we'll come and pick him up Sunday morning, whether I like it or not, basically. And I did tell her we'd have to ride him before we threw him on the trailer. I leave town, and my student goes and buys the horse. Of course, as Jennifer pointed out, that does sound like something I would do. But it wasn't me this time. So I get here Saturday night, and hook up the trailer. We get in really late, and I go and I hook up the trailer. And I have my Sunday morning, I teach a riding lesson, and all these women come over. And we call it Sunday morning church, and we all ride horses. And Joanne is one of those. We were going to ride and then go pick up this new horse. She comes to my farm in tears. She drives down the driveway, and I can tell she's crying. And she gets out of the car and, like, says, she's been trying to get this horse for 6 months. This is the woman who flaked a couple weeks ago. And was like, never mind. Okay, you can get him. Never mind. Okay, I'll sell him to you. And I vented about how people are never really selling horses.
Right.
The woman texted her at 10 p.m. Saturday night saying, never mind, I found somebody else who had more land. Poor Joanna. She's like, I found somebody who had 75 acres of grass, so he's just going to be happier there. Turns out, then she goes on to say that he doesn't really do well in boarding situations. Every horse is boarded and so in your backyard or in a barn.
Yeah, but the red flags are going up, and she can be darn well she didn't get that horse.
That's what I told her. I said, Joanna, I said, if we'd have gotten that horse, this woman would have got that email next week and then would have come and gotten him and taken him off the property. You know, there's a million things that could have happened. And she's done this so many times to you that it's a good thing we're rid of this horse. But if anybody knows about a 17-year-old Hannah Varian that's for sale, don't even try because she's not going to sell it to you. It's in the Phoenix area.
You know what? Things happen for a reason, and obviously that wasn't meant to be, and there was probably a darn good reason.
Yeah, and we're going to find that little perfect horse. So we're looking for a middle-aged warm blood that's, you know, he can be a little slower, a little older, and we just need. She just wants to start doing some training level dressage. So, if you know of anybody in the Phoenix area or California, just send me an email. God, I need a horse for this woman. but yeah, so frustrating horse sales and purchasing and all that. So I was looking on Craigslist last night for a horse for, you know, for her, and for really bad ads, and I found a thoroughbred that I have to go look at today.
For her? For her, Jamie?
For me!
You need to stop looking at Craigslist. You really do.
I can't do these really bad ads, Glenn. I can't do it. It's just not fair.
Speaking of which, let's go over this week's schedule a little bit. And before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to Aubrey Miller, who posted on our Facebook page, Glenn, I'm blaming you for my newfound addiction to Car Talk. This is the Car Talk show that we absolutely love that's put out by NPR. Let's just say the fact that the archives cost $1 per episode is getting me in big trouble. Aubrey, you do know you can find them on iTunes for free, and I think they go back like 50 episodes. So if you just search for them on iTunes, you can get their podcast or their show for free. That's how I listen to it. But it is addictive. It's fun. I listen to them all the time. Jennifer and I like to listen to them when we're on trips. So, yeah, there's other good radio out there, too. Let's talk about schedule coming up this week. We are going to be here Monday through Thursday live. And then Friday we have a special new musical episode for you. And Jamie actually set this one up, and we're going to talk more about this guy later on in the week, and it should be a fun show. Also, because we missed Really Bad Ads last week because Jamie had Friday off and we're going to be traveling this week on Friday, we thought that we would move Really Bad Ads till Thursday this week. We don't want to miss it. So Thursday at 10 o'clock, we'll have Really Bad Ads for you. Get your entries in now. And what's really cool is the winner will be the first one to win the new Horse Radio Network saddle pad. That's right. We're going to have a saddle pad with the Horse Radio Network logo on it. So you will be the first one to win that. I wish we could tell you we know what it looks like, but we don't yet. We're finding out this weekend. So, but we'll definitely reserve you the first Horse Radio Network saddle pad. So definitely go submit your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. All the silly, stupid, funny, misspelled, terrible ads for horses or chickens or anything to do with farming is good. And you can submit those to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get them in by Wednesday so that we can put those out on Thursday's show. And also, we are going to be live a week from today. Jamie and I and Jennifer will be together at the American Equestrian Trade Association in Philadelphia. We did that once before. If you remember right, the loyal listeners to the show will remember Jamie and I got blown up by the .2 air vest on the air, live. So you'll never know what's going to happen to us next week on Monday Live.
Yeah, and you remember we got blown up, and I also remember how much financial damage Jennifer and I did, along with Helena, who was there too. So this is another shopping opportunity, and I do have to make a visit to the Ariat booth. So, again.
Oh, no. Oh,
well,
no.
You know, I never know when I'm going to be back there, and I get a good deal on Ariats when you're up there, so I might as well buy ahead. You know, it's only smart.
And Helena, for the first time, will not be with us. She's recovering from her surgery. We're hoping to chat with her a little later in the show today. Of course, Helena's the host of the Stable Scoop radio show, and my first co-host, actually, and she will be with us hopefully later on in the morning if we can get her on the phone and find out how she's doing recovering from her knee surgery. She had some pretty extensive knee surgery last week, but it'll be fun to see you. We're going to actually be together this Friday. It's hard to believe how quickly that comes up. So we're looking forward to seeing you in person and actually recording a show in person again.
I know. It'll be great.
So that way when I stick my tongue out at you, you actually see it.
When I shoot you the bird, my friend, it'll be right in your face. I wouldn't do that. I'm just kidding.
Oh, and Aubrey just responded. She must be listening this morning. Thank you, Aubrey. She says, hold on, they're free on iTunes, Car Talk. I'm getting them on iTunes, but they're $1 an episode. The podcast is free, but there are only 2 episodes showing up under that. Oh, we need to start doing that.
charging?
Yeah, we could just put two episodes up. If you missed those, we've got to go back in the archives. You have to pay a buck a piece. I like that. We could make some more money. Woohoo!
Right. And I'm sure we'd be making a lot of money. People go, you have to buy these? Yes, never mind.
It was a good thought while it lasted.
Yeah,
all right. So what else went on over the weekend? You were going to go see a horse. Oh, by the way, Jennifer should post that picture you sent over. That was really cute.
Apparently, remember I told you I went on that train ride? And I kind of slept through the whole thing. I don't know what it is about being on a train, but it was one of those big steam locomotives, and the train ride was like 6 freaking hours, and then an hour stop in the middle of it. So say 3 hours in, lunch, and then 3 hours back. And I'm going to tell you that for some reason, being on a swing, I'm going to get that soundtrack for my room and play it when I can't sleep, because it just knocked me out. And apparently, Chad's family took a photo of me sleeping during the train ride and just emailed it to him. So he sent it on over to you guys, and against my better judgment, he said he asked for your email. So there you go. Do you have it now? That's terrible. But the other thing I was supposed to do, if you recall, I was supposed to go fishing, Glenn. I was supposed to go fishing.
Oh, that's right. You know what? One of our listeners had a problem with you fishing because you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, I don't eat them, okay, and I don't kill them. And I would prefer actually not to catch anything, but there's something fun about sitting on the riverside throwing in a fishing pole. And, I hardly ever actually bait the hook. I didn't tell you this, but I hardly ever bait the hook because I really don't like catching anything. I figure if I accidentally hook one, whatever. And it's kind of fun when you do pull one up, and then, you know, he's probably thinking, oh, my gosh.
Because you've accidentally snagged it?
Every once in a while, I'll catch one. Against my better judgment, I will catch one. And you just know that fish is thinking, oh, my gosh, I am in such trouble. I am dead meat. I am going to – wait, what are they doing? She's putting me back in the water. And I always go, be free. And you let them go, and they swim off, and they're so happy. So that's my fishing. However, there was none of that on Friday because, as I mentioned, I was on a family vacation with Chad, but his family and their five grandkids, all under the age of four and under. Well, when we mentioned we were going fishing, that just got everybody all excited.
Oh, no.
So guess who wanted to go fishing too? Every single one of the children. Bless their hearts. They wanted to go. And I just could, I was envisioning what that fishing experience would be like. It would be, I would either get hooked in the face with a hook as one child like flung its, fishing pole over and it would snag my cheek like in the movies, or it would be, you know, just a mass of tangled wire and I would sit there trying to untangle everything the whole time. I thought that it was just better, Glenn, if I opted out of the whole experience and went to the spa. So that's what I did. I went to the spa. And actually, I went to the hot springs, the Pagosa Hot Springs. That's kind of famous for being the downtown area. And have you ever been to a hot springs?
I think years ago, yes, I was. We were in a place in Virginia that had them.
Okay, well, don't do it because it's disgusting. We paid $25. We paid $25.
You'd have been better off fishing with no bait.
I know. We paid $25 to go into this spa. It's like this thing, and you're allowed to go in, and there's all these different pools and different temperatures, and they're just hot springs, like, bubbling up out of the ground. So I was thinking, oh, we're going to heal ourselves, and it's going to be this therapeutic. It smelled like sulfur, and it was warm and disgusting and dirty, and I just... I got in one pool and I was like, okay, I'm done. Like 5 minutes later, I'm like, this is disgusting. I have to go home. I stink. So really was an exciting adventure at the spa. I would have been better off paying the $75 for the massage and for getting the whole lot. But I was trying to be with nature, Glenn. I was trying to be with nature and sit in this disgusting cesspool of sulfur. and, you know, be one with the earth. And the earth stunk, okay? It stunk. I still smell like salt. Every once in a while I get a whiff of the sulfur that touched the bottom of my ponytail, because Lord knows I didn't actually dunk my head under. But the bottom of my ponytail hung down into the water, and so it still stinks. I feel like I should cut off about 6 inches of my hair and completely cleanse myself of this experience.
Sorry.
It was horrible. Don't think I'm not going to a real spa when we're in Philadelphia, my friend. And I am going to get some sort of like nice aromatherapy bath.
Actually, I was kind of thinking, I wonder what kind of weird spa I can find in Philadelphia. You know, one of those. If we were in Hershey, Pennsylvania, you can go to the spa there and they actually give you chocolate treatments. That sounds much better.
What?
Yeah, they'll actually cover your face in chocolate and everything, and they give you chocolate facials and chocolate rubs. And
I mean,
doesn't that sound like much better than the sulfur spa?
Yeah, dunk me in a chocolate bath, my friend. I am in. I am in. How far is Hershey from Philly? Probably too far.
Anyway. You got me laughing. It's like Friday. It just feels like Friday. Well, we were going to get to talk on Friday. See, that's what the problem was.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? I have a confession to make, too. You were saying about not putting bait in your hook while you're fishing. Well, I have a confession to make. This is a 20-year-old confession. We used to have a big farm.
Oh, boy, we're getting deep and down into the heart of Glen Peak here.
Yeah, 20-year-old confession here. We used to have a big farm. We had about 100 acres, and it was in the prime of deer hunting in Pennsylvania. And, of course, Jennifer's whole family were deer hunters, so they'd come over to our farm because that deer always – it was like a highway through our farm. And I used to go deer hunting, but nobody knew that I never loaded the gun. I never put bullets in the gun. Never put bullets in the gun. I used to love going out there sitting in the morning. The one day I had a deer walk up 2 feet behind me and scare the crap out of me. He snorted in the woods behind me. He snorted, and I just about jumped out of my skin. I turn around, and I'm looking at him. He's about 2 feet away. Jennifer's
You're the only deer hunter who gets scared by the deer.
So Jennifer's probably the only one in this couple of her and I that actually got a deer, and that was by accident, too, because I swear she aimed away from the deer, and the deer ran right in front of her bullet. And she was shocked that she actually shot the deer. I don't think that was her intention, but she at least wanted to shoot the gun so that her brothers would think she was cool.
Yeah,
and she accidentally shot the deer. So
you killed the deer?
Hey, it's still the freezer, honey.
Yeah, those were the lean
days.
Those were the lean days.
Yeah,
but that was early on in the marriage. So that was after. The previous fiance I told you about had spent all my money. So that was after.
Oh, that's right. So you were lucky to have Jennifer there to provide food for the family.
That's right. She was the food provider of the
group. I can't imagine shooting a deer. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I never had the problem. I never loaded the gun. And that's the first time I've confessed that. Let's hope Jennifer's – and I'm a pretty good shot, too. Let's hope that Jennifer's brothers haven't heard that one.
Hey, Glenn, just so you know, that is very Black Beauty friendly, what you did with not loading the gun, and Black Beauty would completely approve.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I like that guy. He never loaded his gun.
I need to get a drink here. Why don't you do the ad, and then we have our first guest who's on the line today.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Omega Alpha for sponsoring today's show. I cannot say enough about all their products. I love it. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. They have dozens of products to help your horses in a number of areas, including energy, immunity, muscles, respiratory, vitamins and minerals. Actually, just on a side note, they also have supplements that help calm your horse down. They help with the stomach pain. They help with all sorts of different things that you could have going on with your horse. You got to check them out. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. They specialize in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by Omega Alpha using the finest natural ingredients available. And you can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
All right. Thank you very much, Jamie. Our first guest today is from our adopted hometown, Norco Horsetown, USA, out there in California. We've had many different people on from Norco, and one of these days we're actually going to get out there and do a show together. From the Dairy Queen, because we keep hearing about riding up to the Dairy Queen. So I think we should do the show from the Dairy Queen while eating large quantities of ice cream. Sounds good to me. Well, today we have a little different twist on a Norco guest, and that is we have Sergeant Rick Wagner, who is a mounted policeman in Norco. Now, first question I have for him, let's get him on here. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
I appreciate you getting up this early to come on, or are you just finishing a shift? Which one?
Actually, I'm just starting a shift.
Okay, good. Well, then we didn't get you up early then.
No.
You had to get up anyway. So, you know, we were talking about it before the show. Norco sounds like the kind of a place that shouldn't have crime. There just shouldn't be any.
Well, and I do have to clarify is that I live in Norco, but I'm a mounted police officer in Orange County in the city of Garden Grove, which is just south of Disneyland.
Ah, okay. Because I was kind of wondering about that, because so there is no crime in Norco. I was right about that.
Well, of course.
Good answer. So you're a mounted cop just south of Disneyland. So tell us, you know, what made you want to get into being a mounted policeman, and where, you know, how did that start?
Well, I've been a police officer for 29 years, and during the course of that, I used to rodeo in the National Police Rodeo Association, and I was fortunate enough that my department, which is the Garden Grove Police Department, started a mounted unit 13 years ago, and I got into it about it's 8 years ago now, because at the time when it started, I was working undercover narcotics, and I had hair down the middle of my back, and I couldn't really work in uniform on horseback, so once I got out of that assignment, then I got onto the mounted unit.
Well, that sounds like much more fun than narcotics anyway. So, now, when I worked in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, they had a mounted unit, and they were always, our offices were like three stories up on the square, so we used to see them all the time out there, and we used to see them, take off after people. That's, you know, it's we see horses all the time living in the country. When you see a horse in the city, even us horse people, I find it intimidating. It is much more intimidating when you see a horse in the city than when you do out at the farm.
Yes, I would agree. And the odd thing is that it is intimidating to people doing bad things, really, because surprisingly, the mounted unit is the one aspect that I've found in my police career that attracts everyone to the police. You could have a motorcycle officer, a canine officer, an officer walking a foot beat, and the citizens just don't approach them. But when we're somewhere on our horse, people come up and say hi, want to pet the horse because they've never petted a horse, they've never seen a horse up close, and it really breaks down the barriers within the community. I mean, we have gang members coming up petting our horses because they've never seen a horse up close in their life.
Okay, hold on. What fun is it to walk up? Can I pet your motorcycle? Hey, can I pet
well,
your
exactly.
car?
Well, exactly.
That's great. But you mentioned gang members coming up. That's fantastic. Now, what I would do if I were you is I would have a laptop attached to the front of my saddle and just type in their names, and then, you know what? You're under arrest. There you go. Get on the back of the horse. I'm taking you to jail. That's awesome.
Well, I do have to say that the one piece of fun that we do have with the gang members is typically their children will come up and are petting their horses first, and they'll be standing in the back, and you know they're intimidated by the horse, like you said, and they're afraid to come up. So we coax them up. Oh, come on, your kids are petting the horse. You know it's not going to hurt you. And they ask, do they bite? Well, we respond with only when we tell them to. So just as the you know, a particular gang member will get his hand just close enough to the horse's nose, finally getting that courage to finally pet, we'll yell bite real loud and watch them jump out of their skin. And then they're embarrassed in front of, you know, all their children and all the people around. And then they come up and pet the horse, and, you know, and they even say, ah, that was good. You know, you got me, you know. And then they end up taking pictures with us and all that. But you got to have a little fun.
That's police humor right there.
Exactly.
You know, you need to do something when you're on those boring days when nothing happens. So tell us, you know, what are some of the situations you've gotten into with the horses that – that maybe was a situation that if you weren't on horseback would have played out differently?
Well, chasing people for one thing, you know, granted going over fences is not real conducive to having a horse, but the whole idea is when you have a horse, you can catch them before they get to the fence kind of thing. We've had several chases on suspects are running from us, and, you know, with the horses, you know, we're able to catch them. We just had one last Thursday. We had some taggers, which are, you know, the kids painting graffiti, and we chased them about a half mile and caught them. The week before, we had three people do a commercial burglary, and the officers chased them about a half mile through a residential track in the middle of the day. People are out watering their lawns looking, going, oh, my God. You know, there's two horses chasing three guys down the street.
Did you catch them?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Caught the taggers last Thursday and the three burglars the week before.
Now, that's interesting, you know, having seen this chase, which, by the way, is an incredible sight, seeing them weave in and out of the traffic. These guys were riding down through the middle of the street chasing these guys on the sidewalks. Do you jump off the horse to catch the guy? What do you do there?
Well, it all depends on, you know, once we actually catch up to them, on if they're going to submit to us finally catching up to them. But if they're just going to be persistent and they're going to continue to run from us, then we can either grab them as we're running next to them, or we use the horse to actually knock them down.
Yeah.
Ooh,
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, from a horse aspect, the one thing that mounted police horses are trained for is – and it's totally opposite from every other discipline of equestrian, you know, training, is that we teach our horses to move into pressure, to where when you train, everybody else trains their horses, they teach them to move away from pressure. You know, now when
why would that be? So aside from, you know, obviously running into, you know, criminals, why would you teach them to move into pressure as opposed to give to pressure?
Well, and it's only from the aspect of what we do with the horse. Our equitation-wise is still, you know, they respond to our leg pressure, et cetera. But we have to teach our horses to push that suspect over as we're running. And if we're in a crowd management environment to where we have a protest and that kind of thing, and the crowd doesn't want to move and they're waving signs and all that, we have to teach our horses to drive into those people that may even be pushing back against our horse, not wanting to move. But our horses are trained to push through that pressure and either over them or push those people back. And that takes a little bit of training to achieve.
So as far as volunteers to help train the horses for that, do you just use people in jail already, or do you actually people – how do you teach them that? Like, hey, guys, chain gang, line up.
Line up.
Push you over.
Yeah, well, as much as we'd like to use that training method, it is discouraged. And actually the best device we have is what we call a battle ball. And it's a ball. It's a rubber ball. Ball that has a nylon cover on it, and when you blow it up, it actually is about 6 foot tall or 5 foot tall. And and what we do is we use that to as a barrier between our agitators, if you will, and the horses. That one, it's multicolored nylon cover, so it's kind of scary itself, and it's 5 foot tall. But the horses learn to basically play soccer with that, and the protesters will be on the other side pushing the ball into the horses, waving signs on top of it. But that creates a safety barrier and teaches the horses to drive into something And when they first start, you know, they enter the arena and the ball will be in there and they don't want anything to do with that ball, you know, a brand new horse. But we work with them and train them and get them to the point that they will drive that just like a fullback driving through an offensive line or a defensive line playing football. They really enjoy it.
That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. So you actually have to teach them to push into the thing, to push the crowds back, and that is actually way safer for the horse. Now, what other kind of training techniques do you have to use that would be kind of different like that?
Well, we train our horses to be around fireworks. Our horses will stand at my city of Garden Grove is just south and adjacent to the city of Anaheim, where is the home of the Disneyland, the Anaheim Stadium, where the Angels play baseball. And they all have overhead giant fireworks in that. And our horses are trained and conditioned that we can stand underneath those fireworks and horses don't move.
Wow.
We also train for live gunfire. We do blanks. It's called simmunitions. It's basically modern paintball, to where it's paint ammunition out of real guns. We do live gunfire because, obviously, being police officers on horseback, we may have to discharge our service weapons from sitting in the saddle. So we train.
Wow, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Are you using quarter horses, or what are you using?
We have a variety. We don't really restrict our breeds, but at my department, we have a Belgian draft that one officer rides. Two other officers ride quarter horses, and then I have two Mustangs.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, that's cool. That's the first time I've heard a Mustang doing mounted patrol.
Yeah. And you know, I've been pretty fortunate. The youngest one I have, I got him at 4, and he went right into police work. Both of them came out of the mountains of Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So do you see yourself retiring as a mounted policeman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a little over two years to retirement, and, you know, I'll be working mounted until then. And I hope that after retirement, I can come back with the department as a reserve officer and still be a mounted reserve officer, so I can still be involved in it.
Well, this is kind of cool. You live in Norco, which means I assume you have a horse or two of your own.
And let me clarify that. The horses, we actually own them, and we allow the city to use them.
Ah, so these are your horses.
Yes, they are. They are our personal horses.
Okay. I was familiar with, they were the city's horses, and they were actually kept at the park.
Right. No, these stay in Norco, where most of the Orange County law enforcement mounted officers live in Norco, and they're in our backyards.
Wow. So how far is Norco from Garden Grove?
30 miles.
All right. So that's not bad at all.
Yeah, just 30 miles to the west.
Okay, let me follow up with that one real quick. So the horses are in your backyard. Do you ride them to work every – you just ride them like, okay, I'm starting my shift, honey, see ya. And you kiss your wife, and then you get on your horse and you head out the driveway.
Now technically I could, because with our trail system in Norco, I could get to the Santa Ana River that has a trail that goes from the San Bernardino Mountains to Huntington Beach. And I could take that Santa Ana River Trail down into close to Garden Grove and get out of the river trail and take the city streets to get to Garden Grove. But by the time I got there, I'd have to turn around and probably go back.
Okay,
day's over. I'm not home.
Yeah, no. We
control the streets around your house. You actually have to go somewhere. Okay,
right,
gotcha.
Right. Yeah.
But that's kind of neat. I think it's kind of neat that you live in an equestrian community and then – and then you you also get to work with your horses all day long. That's something that not too many people can say.
Right. And the with everyone living out in Norco and the Norco area, is we train once a month with all of the Orange County law enforcement agencies that have mounted units, and those are the Anaheim, Buena Park, Garden Grove, and Santa Ana Police Departments, and then the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And we actually train at Ingalls Park in Norco. The city of Norco rents us the facility at a city-to-city rate, and so we get to train in the covered arena and in Horsetown, USA. So, you know, it makes it nice for us.
And they have obstacle training and stuff out there anyway, don't they?
Yes, we've actually used Lisa's facility a time or two. And it saves us setting up everything when Lisa's Rancho Santiago obstacle course has everything already there. You know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. Well, this is very cool. Sergeant, I think this is neat. Every place I've ever seen them, they definitely do the job that you hope they would do. Accomplish what you hope they would accomplish, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing in Garden Grove.
Yeah, and you know we've had the opportunity over the last several years to work some very high profile national security type events with the mounted unit. It's one thing to ride your horse and do police work, but to work some of these high profile events, you know, is a lot of fun. And you know, knowing that you're policing part of that type of event, has some prestige to it. We recently worked the 2010 Major League Baseball All-Star Game that was held at Anaheim Stadium. All 3 days of the All-Star Game when it's in town, we police that with about 30 horses a day. We've also worked the 2007 National League or National Hockey League Stanley Cup Series, and then when the Anaheim Ducks had a celebration bringing the trophy home. We've worked the 2003 World Gymnastics Championship that was held in Anaheim, and that was the qualification event for the 2004 Olympics. And that was unique, being so close to 9/11, just 2 years after, that we had Muslim countries, competing, at the venue. You know, we had Israel, we had Palestine, we had Lebanon. And it was very high tension around the area, but we had, horses out there every day keeping the perimeter of the building clear and safe and everything.
Wow.
All right, so I have a question here from a listener on Facebook, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it for Laura. Writes, are the horses officers like canine officers?
Yes. Yes, they are. If someone assaults in California, if someone assaults a police canine or a police horse, technically it's just like assaulting a police officer. And I've actually made several arrests for that, surprisingly, and not in situations you would normally think. You know, if I tell someone that I've arrested somebody for assaulting my horse, they typically think that we're in a protest environment and people are hitting or throwing things at us. And I've made probably 4 arrests for that, and it's when you wouldn't expect it. Me and a partner from Santa Ana were walking through a large carnival event at their city, and the other officer was in front of me, and this drunk guy runs up, slaps his horse on the backside, and then takes off running through the crowd. And it was, really?
Well, it seemed like a good thing to do at the time.
Evidently, but I trotted after him and caught him, by the shirt and pulled him out of the crowd, and he went to jail. And then we've had another occasion that me and an officer were at a carnival event in our city, and we were parked on the grass in an open, soccer field, watching the traffic come in, and some drunk individual came up behind us and slap my partner's horse again, and then runs across an open grass field thinking he's going to get away from us. And we've had a couple occasions like that, that it wasn't really in a situation that you would expect things. And people come up and start trying to assault the horses.
All right, it's never a good idea because horses still kick. it's just never a good idea in any way, shape, or form.
Is that like a drunken dare, though, when you're like,
yes,
hey, go slap? It's like kind of like, I'm going to go streak across the field in the Major League Baseball game. It's like,
right,
hey, I dare you to go slap the horse in the butt. Now, I got to ask you this, because this was big news. It was a long time ago, but I remember when Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw stole a police horse and two police horses and went galloping away with it. And I don't think they ended up getting in any trouble. But do you recall that event? And what would you think about that?
Yeah, I remember that. And I'm thinking, because I kind of remember that, you know, the police were rather upset with that. And, you know, there was kind of some scrutiny on whether they were going to get some type of punishment out of that and that kind of thing. But I'm thinking, why'd you leave your horse alone that allowed that to happen?
Good call.
You know, I mean, we typically are close enough to our horse that, you know, or if they're tied up and we're, you know, on a coffee or lunch break kind of thing, they're in eyesight. So if somebody goes over.
I was just going to say, when you're in a donut shop, they're tied up someplace.
Exactly.
I'm just gonna say that.
But we have eyes on them. We're not just, you know.
Okay.
It's not like parking your car that you just, you know, don't even bother looking at it while you're eating or getting a cup of coffee.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and they used to tie them up in Lancaster too, but they always went into a restaurant or whatever that had windows so that they could see outside. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was the same way. Well, Sergeant, this has been great learning about this. You're the first mounted officer we've had on the show, actually, and it's just so cool that you actually live in Norco. And we hope that when we actually come out there to do our shows live from Norco that you'll join us one morning.
Oh, yes, I would love to. And when you guys come to town, you need to make sure that you can get back in touch with me because I'm a member of the Norco Animal Rescue Team, which is a volunteer group that works under our fire department, and we're all trained in technical rescue, and we've done helicopter lifts out of canyons and that, rescuing horses and that, so we'd love to share some information on that as well with you when you come out.
All right, so I have a great idea. We can get you practice that day. We'll drop Jamie off in the middle of a canyon someplace, and we'll see if we can rescue her.
All right.
I love it.
Great call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you being on with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
You didn't like that idea? I love it.
Like a lot of fun. It sounds like stuff I avoid at all costs. Like going to the Grand Canyon this past weekend, there was this really, really long hike you could go down. I thought that would be beautiful. And then I started reading more of the signs, and it's like, people die on this trail. Make sure you're prepared. And I was like, okay, yeah, done. I don't need to put myself in that situation where I would need to be rescued because I might die on a trail because of the elements. Not going to happen. And here you are. Let's just drop you off in the middle of the canyon and we'll just
Yeah, but we're going to rescue you. That's the idea is we come rescue. We'll give you a tent. We know how much you like camping. So we'll give you a tent in case
camping.
We don't find you the first day. And Jennifer and I can be up there on horses helping the rescue team try and find you. And, yeah, that'd be a thrilling thing for the show, Jamie.
I'm visualizing a moment of, okay, ready, go. But, Glenn, I don't want to. They're going to tase you if you don't run. So I'm supposed to run, not get tased, get lost in the desert, and have you guys find me. That sounds awesome. Where do I sign up for that? Good times.
Well, how do you keep track of your horse's information, like ferry visits and shots? Do you have a box full of receipts or post-it notes maybe, or perhaps you just don't keep track at all? That's the way most people do it, I think. And you're trying to remember when that next farrier visit was due or when your shots are worse because you go for longer for shots and you're never quite even sure what month it was. Well, the solution to the problem is right there in your iPhone, and it's called Pocket Stable. We had a couple people write last week actually send me emails looking for new listeners, looking for the address and the name. It's Pocket Stable, and it keeps all of your horse's information in one easy-to-get-to place. It includes vaccines, wormings, farrier and dentist visits, and even the weight of your horse. And you can find it by going to the App Store on your iPhone and just searching for Pocket Stable, or you can visit them on the web at pocketstable.com. And I hope the listeners who wrote in were able to go buy it. It's only $3.99, pretty cheap, and you'll have it forever to use right in your phone. Well, last week, Jamie, we're going to get to Black Beauty because apparently the comments on Facebook about Black Beauty, there's about 10 of them, and they all seem to think, except for one, that Black Beauty should continue.
And who's the one? Would that be Jennifer?
No, Laura says, dragging on like a bad case of strangles. Too funny. I thought that was really funny. So
she didn't say say that Black Beauty was bad. She said that the Jim's description was funny. Everybody likes it. So every time you make a sort of comment about how boring it is, I'm going to repost a question to our listeners, and they're going to repeat it repeatedly, remind you how much they like it. I win.
Apparently,
Yay!
Though, the next there somebody made a suggestion about something we should read next, and I'm trying to find it. I don't see what the Wild Heart.
I don't know. Carrie Kelly, did you do you know who wrote it? Because that's all we need is the rights to these books.
Helen Griffiths. Yeah, we have to have rights to read them because otherwise we get in big trouble.
Stacy says that
she is more of a Black Stallion girl. So there.
Well, that's because she likes horse racing. She's a horse racer. So remember, she's our listener that did the first Hope Women's Hope series.
And, of course, your mother typed in hating me again because I'm picking on your pet Black Beauty.
I love it. My mom posts on her Facebook page. I personally don't know Jamie. However, one of the reasons I love this show is the way she presents Black Beauty. It is truly a treat to listen to this amazing story read by her. Thanks, Mom!
Well, as I promised, on Friday we had Templeton Thompson, and we played the song Happy House, which is one of our favorite songs from Templeton. And it was kind of a happy house with all those perky people we had on the show on Friday. And Patty Hall called in, one of her friends who's a singer-songwriter, and they wrote Happy House together, sitting in Patty's house out on the West Coast. And that's how Happy House came to be. And Patty did her own version of it, and we promised to play it this morning. So this is Patty Hall singing her version of Happy House.
in the morning on the Horse Radio Network. That was Patty Hall and Happy House. Today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And you, I have heard you, my people. I have heard you. You have spoken, and I am here for you. And, Glenn, it is now that time again. So hit the button.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 37, The Golden Rule. 2 or 3 weeks after this, as we came into the yard rather late in the evening, Polly came running across the road with a lantern. She always brought it to him if it was not very wet. "It has come right, Jerry. Miss Briggs sent her service this afternoon and asked you to take her out tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I said, yes, I thought so, but we supposed that she employed someone else now. Well, says he, the real fact is Master was put out because Mr. Barker refused to come on Sundays, and he has been trying other cabs. But there's something wrong with them all. Some drive too fast, some too slow, and the mistress says there is not one of them so nice and clean as yours, and nothing will suit her but Mr. Barker's cab again." Polly was almost out of breath, and Jerry broke out into a merry laugh. "I'll come right someday or night. You were right, my dear. You generally are. Run in and get supper, and I'll have Jack's harness off and make him snug and happy in no time." After this, Miss Briggs wanted Jerry's cabs quite as often as before, never, however, on a Sunday. But there came a day when we had Sunday work, and this is how it happened. We had all come home on a Saturday night very tired and very glad to think that the next day would be all rest, but so it was not to be. On Sunday morning, Jerry was cleaning me in the yard when Polly stepped up to him, looking very full of something. "What is it, dear?" said Jerry. "Well," she said, "poor Dinah Brown has just had a letter brought to her saying that her mother is dangerously ill and that she must go directly if she wishes to see her alive. The place is more than 10 miles away from here, out in the country, and she says if she takes the train, she should still have 4 miles to walk, and so weak as she is, and the baby only 4 weeks old, of course that would be impossible, and she wants to know if you would take her in your cab, and she promises to pay you faithfully as she can get the money." "Tut, tut, we'll see about that. It was not the money I was thinking about, but of losing our Sunday. The horses are tired, and I am tired, too. That's where it pinches." "It pinches all around, for that matter," said Polly, "for it's only half a Sunday without you. But you know we should do to other people as we like for them to do to us. And I know very well, dear, what I should like if my mother was dying. And, Jerry, dear, I'm sure it won't break the Sabbath. As for pulling a poor beast or donkey out of a pit would not spoil it, I am quite sure that taking poor Dinah would not do it. Why, Polly, you are as good as the minister, and so, as I've had my Sunday morning sermon early today, you may go tell Dinah that I'll be ready for her as the clock strikes 10. But stop, just step round to Butcher Braden's with my compliments and ask if he would lend me his light trap. I know he never uses it on Sunday, and it would make a wonderful difference to the horse." Away she went and soon returned, saying that he could have the trap and welcome. "All right," said he, "now put me up a bit of bread and cheese, and I'll be back in the afternoon as soon as I can." "And I'll have the meat pie ready for an early tea instead of for dinner," said Polly, and away she went, whilst he made his preparations to the tune of Polly the Woman of No Mistake, which tune he was very fond of. I was selected for the journey, and at 10 o'clock we started in the light high-wheeled gig, which ran so easily that after the four-wheeled cab, it seemed like nothing. It was a fine May day, and as soon as we were out of town, the sweet air, the smell of fresh grass, and the soft country roads were as pleasant as they used to be in the old times, and I soon began to feel quite fresh. Dinah's family lived in a small farmhouse up a green lane close by a meadow with some fine shady trees. There were 2 cows feeding in it. A young man asked Jerry to bring his trap into the meadow, and he said he would tie me up in the cow shed, and he wished he had a better stable to offer me. "If your cows would not be offended," said Jerry, "there is nothing my horse would like so well as to have an hour or two in your beautiful meadow. He's quiet, and it would be a rare treat for him." "Do and welcome," said the young man. "The best we have at your service for your kindness to my sister. We shall be having some dinner in an hour. I hope you'll come in, though with mother so ill, we are out of sorts in the house." Jerry thanked him kindly, but said he had some dinner with him, and there was nothing he should like so well as the walking about in the meadow. When my harness was taken off, I did not know what to do first, whether to eat the grass or roll over on my back or lie down and rest or have a gallop across the meadow out of sheer spirits at being free. And I did all by turns. Jerry seemed to be quite as happy as I was. He sat down by a bank under a shady tree and listened to the birds. Then he sang himself and read out of the little brown book he is so fond of. He then wandered around the meadow and sat down by a little brook where he picked flowers and on hawthorn and tied them up with long sprays of ivy. Then he gave me a good feed of oats, which he had brought with him, but the time seemed all too short. I had not been in a field since I left poor Ginger at Earlshall. We came home gently, and Jerry's first words as we came into the yard, "Well, Polly, I've not lost my Sunday after all, for the birds were singing hymns in every bush, and I joined in the service. And as for Jack, he was like a young colt again." When he handed Dolly the flowers, she jumped about for joy. And tomorrow, Chapter 38, Dolly and a Real Gentleman. You're a little slow on the applause today.
I actually hit it on time, but the thing was cycling and wouldn't start.
Okay. Just checking. Because I saw your little snarky messages you and Jennifer have been sending back and forth on chat. Here it comes again. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you even went and took a bathroom break during that. So I'm mad at you. You didn't even listen to the interview.
You're like, hey, I did. They were something about listening to birds and being in a field.
You know what? This could have been the most exciting chapter of all, and you would have no idea because you chose to take a bathroom break during my reading. Really? I can see the chat that you and Jennifer are sending to each other. I have capability of that. I'm included in on it, and I don't appreciate it. Thank you very much. The ladies and gentlemen have spoken like Beauty State. You know what I might do? I might just read it again after we're done. I might just start over. I might just go backwards. Let's start at the end and go back to the beginning, make it a happy ending.
Hey, Laura, I need to apologize to...
That's good. I like that.
Can we change the ending? That'd be good. Hey, maybe that's what we'll do. When you get to the end, before you read the last chapter, we can have everybody submit their own endings.
How do you know it's not going to be a happy ending? You haven't even read the dang book.
Because Jennifer keeps saying it ends horribly.
Yeah, well,
everybody
you just don't have to listen.
Jennifer
doesn't even know. She hasn't read the book either. So, you know what? I'm done. Mom, call him. Mom, you're going to have to call Glenn after the show because he's giving me a hard time again. And you know my mom will call you.
So everybody doesn't die in a nuclear explosion? That's not what happened?
Not a nuclear explosion.
Okay.
Maybe a barn fire. I don't know. We're going to have to
read Laura, I have to apologize to Laura here on a serious note. I have to apologize to Laura because she says Happy House was written about Central Washington, and it sounds exactly like us, not so much West Coast. Okay, so this was Central. I couldn't remember whether it was Oregon or Washington. That's why I didn't say it. So I apologize. It was Central Washington, which does sound pretty. So let's do
okay.
some news.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to do
yeah.
the news here in a second, but usually I love that Jennifer recaps the chapters that I read and does a little blurb about it and posts it on Facebook, and it keeps us up to date on the chapters. Today, unbelievable. Today in Black Beauty, Jerry and Jack enjoy an afternoon's respite and do a good deed. The tension is nearly unbearable. Really? Unbelievable. It's a little snarky. I will comment on this if you move on. Okay, news. I'm done with this now. Mom, you're going to have to call Jennifer, too.
I'm going to try and make this work here.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jamie, the Kiwis kicked some serious butt in the British Open Eventing Championships, and it was described as a blackwash as the New Zealand eventers filled the first four placings at Gatcombe's British Open Eventing Championships. And the main class of the weekend, Kiwi team stalwart Andrew Nicholson, filled the first two places, riding Nero and Avebury. with Jonathan Pageant and Clifton Lush third on, or riding Clifton Lush third, and Mark Todd, a name we've talked about here many times, on Major Milestone in fourth. They really did wipe it out. You know, that makes them look really good and puts them as contenders for a medal, a team medal during the Olympics next year in London.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. Those Kiwis are just phenomenal. And then when you have Mark Todd and Andrew Nicholson on your team, you're going to be in good shape. You are
in
good shape.
Yeah, no matter what. Even at the age of, what, 60-some, Mark's doing pretty well.
Yeah,
pretty well
he's
for
doing
himself.
Fine. So I just want to let you guys know that the farm purchasing continues, the farm hunt. I was up last night. We had one of the guys come over who we're doing all the paperwork with, and it was just paperwork and paperwork until 11 or 12 o'clock last night. Chad and I are exhausted. We've been out of town. We're trying to get all caught up on buying this house. But it was all for nothing, Glenn, all for nothing. I'm scrapping the purchase of that farm. I'm
Why?
Done with it. Because weight loss guru Jenny Craig has cut the price on her Rancho Santa Fe, California equestrian estate. So it's a discount farm. It was $30 million, and now it's only $25 million. So she's come down $5 million. I am in. It's only 30 minutes north of San Diego. So, you know, Chad can commute technically. It's
That's
not
wine
that
country
awesome
up
scenic.
There. Wine country.
Yeah, it's called Rancho Paciana. It's 229 acres. It includes a racetrack, two guest houses, an olive orchard, which I've burned because I hate olives, five barns, a vet suite. also, you can buy another one in Rancho Santa Fe on the bluff overlooking the equestrian estate. That is separately for sale, but that one's only $9 million. And it's got a four-bedroom house, gardens, private car museum. I don't know if cars come with it. Anyway, Jenny Craig, I will be calling you later today because I will be, putting in an offer on your new farm.
I saw pictures of that place. You know, we're in the wrong business. We should be in the weight loss business. We need to be in the equestrian weight loss business, which I wouldn't do very well at. But that's for the money.
I think you have to be skinny to have a weight loss business.
Bam, I knew there was a problem with that.
Good luck. But, yeah, Jenny Craig's place, I think we have a link for it. So when Jennifer gets around to it, she'll post that on Facebook so you can see my new farm. It's going to be beautiful.
It is pretty. It's very pretty. I'll come and visit you there. I'll stay for you. You won't get people to leave if you buy that place. Hey, I have to give a shout out to Summer White. And she was headed back on her home or to her home in Edmond, Oklahoma, after working at a horse show at the Kansas Coliseum. She and two other teenage groomers that she was working with at the horse show were headed south about 10:30 p.m. And what happened was they came on an accident. And the accident had just happened, and there was actually a lady laying in the middle of the highway that had come out of one of the cars. This 17, you remember how we talk about you don't know whether you would have the guts to run into a burning barn to get your horses out? Well, this is a girl that had the guts to go into the middle of the highway as cars are coming at full speed to try and grab this woman and drag her off the highway. Well, unfortunately, she didn't get her out in time, and they were both hit by another car. And ended up in the hospital. Unfortunately, the lady that was lying in the road did pass away. But this girl actually was injured, had multiple injuries. But, you know, for her heroism, she was honored by the Kansas state troopers for her heroism. And she is recovering, and she's doing pretty well now. And, you know, her mother said, "I've told her I wish you hadn't done that, but I'm so proud you did." You know, she ended up with a broken bones, a broken scapula, a broken wrist, and spinal injuries. But she was out there. She did something that we wonder if any of us would have the guts to do. And, you know, kudos off to her for doing what she did. So there was a horse person who ran out and risked her life to save someone else.
That is amazing. What an amazing story. Good for her. A round of applause.
Yes, definitely.
So another news story, completely unrelated to yours. I didn't know how to follow yours because this is just a little bit of fluff, really. Jockey Mike Smith. He was on, obviously he was the Zenyatta's jockey, but he was on the TV show Jockeys that you guys watched pretty religiously,
yep.
right? And
yep.
wasn't
yep.
he engaged?
Yeah, to Chantel Sutherland, who was another jockey out of Canada. And it was, half the show was about their marital issues, and they weren't even married, about their dating issues, let's say.
Really? Okay, see, I need to go back and watch those, because they are not together anymore.
No, they broke
up. They did break up, but this weekend at Del Mar, this past weekend, a couple of years ago, they had a race called Battle of the Sexes. And I'm trying to remember who was in that race, but it was Battle of the Sexes, and it was Julie Crone, I think, with some other dude, and they raced. This weekend, they had what they considered and called, it was a match race called the Battle of the Exes. And it was a match race between Mike Smith and his former fiancée, Chantel Sutherland. How freaking funny is that?
Was it just two horses?
Two horses. That was it. It was a match race. And
who won?
Well, I'll get to that. Mike Smith rode a horse who hadn't even broke his maiden, who had never even won a race before. So it wasn't like this was like Seabiscuit and War Admiral. It was a horse named Joker Face, who was the 3-5 favorite, Mike Smith. And then Chantel Sutherland rode Parable. Again, horses with not that much racing experience. And they both comment on how crazy it was to come around the backstretch and be the only two there. Unfortunately for Chantel, Mike did win. Apparently,
oh,
it was Joker Face did take the race, who beat Parable in the Battle of the Exes this past weekend. But I do think both of them were a really good sport for the whole thing. So she actually said Mike rode a really good race. All credit to him. She said, but to be honest, I'm glad it's over. There was a lot of pressure and a ton of media, and she said it was fun, but she's glad it's over. I'm good for her. Yeah. And so I was thinking, like, is Mike Smith married now? Because like they had to do a lot of media together, and they had to do a lot of photos, and they had to race each other.
I don't think he is. I don't think he's gotten married. Not that I've heard, anyway. You know who he's good friends with is Frankie Lovato. Frankie would know, because they talk. And I know Mike, I think, was on Frankie's show here recently, too. So, but that sounded like fun. What good sports they were to do that, because I don't think the breakup was all that wonderful. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. If he has a girlfriend or she has a boyfriend, I would be so furious about this whole thing. I mean, I'd be like, are you kidding me? You're going to hang out with your ex-fiancé all day and, like, race each other, and it's just going to be – I bet they hook up again after this. I bet they get back together because they've spent so much time with each other and knowing men and women and being competitive and throwing a little bit of emotion into the mix. Oh, they are so back together. We are going to find out. Call Frankie. I want to find out if he spent the weekend with Chantel. I love drama. I didn't make it up if I have to.
All right, we're going to get to one of the races that we've been waiting for to start, and we've talked about all year, has begun, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, we have Helena on the line. Now, I don't know how drugged she is, so I'm warning everybody she might sound a little loopy. She just had her surgery on her knee last week, and we'll find out right now. Good morning, Helena.
Good morning.
Are you on good drugs? Are you taking the good drugs?
No, I'm not on... I am not on good drugs. The good drugs are long gone.
Oh, darn. We called her the wrong day. You should have called her the day after. She would have sounded really good then.
You should have heard me in the OR. That was a trip, apparently. They gave me a healthy dose of Valium, and I was just gabbing away.
So, now, you had some serious knee surgery. You had several things fixed and altered and stuff. How'd it go?
It went well. It was a bigger deal than I thought it was, but everything went well. I had my ACL, my left ACL, completely reconstructed, and they used, so that's your ligament that keeps your, you know, the lower part of your leg connected to the upper part of your leg, and they used my own hamstring tendon to create the new graft. Yeah, that's better than a cadaver, somebody else's tendon.
Ah, gross. Okay, better, sorry. Yeah, I don't know which is better. So I got to ask, obviously, we have some new listeners checking in, Helena being the host of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. How exactly did you hurt your knee?
All right, well, the way Glenn says it is my horse dumped me. So really what I was doing was trying a new saddle on my horse. It slid forward, it pinched, it ouched, it did all those nasty things. And he jigged and jugged and said, ow, ow, ow. I said, okay, let me get off in a hurry. So I did an emergency dismount, and I landed on a hill, basically. And so when I landed, I just the knee went one way and the rest of me went the other. And you heard that lovely popping sound. And you go to stand up, and there's nothing under you. So it took quite a while.
You would ask.
It was really gross. It was really gross.
Is I can do the horse health segment and listen to, you know, talking about pus shooting out of wounds and horses needing colic surgery and neurological disease. I can listen to any of that. Hearing you talk about having your hamstring taken out to rebuild your knee, just my legs hurt, my butt's gone numb. I can't. God.
You're the one who
love
needs
you,
the drugs.
I'm sweating right now. It's starting to get tunnel vision. I am such a wuss.
It's so funny because, you know, going into the OR, like going into surgery that morning, you know, I'm like, you guys need to give me something to calm me down because I'm freaking out right now. And they're like, are you kidding me? You ride horses at breakneck speeds through the woods and you're worried about, you know, a little knee surgery. So they give me this, they give me some kind of happy juice, and then the next thing I know, there's a monitor next to me. There's an anesthesiologist sticking a very long needle into my thigh. And that was a nerve block. Wait, that's the nerve block, and I'm watching this needle play around inside my muscle. And
I gotta go.
And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
At that point, anything's cool after you've had those drugs. It's all kind of cool.
Everything is cool.
Yeah.
Everything is cool. But I
do have a question for you. You said when you got back home, you posted on Facebook that you were strapped to a CPM machine. What's a CPM machine?
Yeah. CPM machine is a continuous passive motion machine, and it's a contraption that you rest your leg in, and it moves your leg through the range of motion. It bends it and straightens it. Through the range of motion, and it's good because it keeps the blood flowing and it keeps the leg from getting too stiff and from scar tissue developing in any one position. It feels really good. It's kind of like a massage.
That's cool. Jennifer, they didn't have those when Jennifer had her surgery.
They didn't have a
CPM machine.
Relatively new, you know, I guess it's the last 7 or 8 years they got this thing, and they do it right away so you don't get blood clots and so the scar tissue doesn't develop in the wrong way. And
okay.
They sound
pretty good. I'm impressed. I thought I didn't know how you'd be at this point. So, and now you're doing rehab and stuff?
I had my first PT the day after I got out of the hospital. I have my next one tomorrow. And it's tough. It's really hard. But I was feeling pretty crappy up until today. Today was a good day. I woke up and looked at the knee and said, okay, I can deal with this. And feeling kind of hopeful.
Cool. So
yeah,
Gracie
we'll
hasn't
see.
Been jumping on your lap on a regular basis? She's been good
about
it?
No. But the cats have, you know, kitty wars on my bed. I'm sleeping downstairs in the guest room. And, of course, all the animals have to sleep down here with me. Never mind that I'm trying to keep, like, the surgical wound clean. I got two cats running across the bed.
As long as your dog, who weighs about 150 pounds, doesn't, or you're probably okay.
No, she's been pretty good. She's been pretty good.
All right, good.
Hold up, because Helena and I, you know, last time we went to Philadelphia to do this Ada show, we went together, and we did some shopping, just a little bit of shopping. And so what I wanted to know is I need you to go ahead and email me a list of the things you would like me to purchase for you. And just go ahead and give me a credit card number at the bottom of that, and I'll handle all your purchases and mail them to you directly.
That would actually be kind of nice to have my own personal shopper at Ada. Holy cow. I'm going to do that.
All right. Give me a little list. You know, we'll take care of it for you, because I know that it is absolutely soul-crushing to miss Ada with all the grand shopping more stuff that because of your surgery, and I just want to give back to the community a little bit and let you know that I will shop for you.
Jamie, you have no idea how much I'm going to miss Ada this year, but I do appreciate your reaching out to help a friend in need. I do.
That's what I'm here for.
Let's keep in mind that you're giving Jamie your credit card number. Just keep that in mind.
As long as she comes back with the good stuff, I'm okay with that.
She's on meds. She has pills.
Jamie, there's something else I got to tell you, too. The next show that Helena and I record together will be our third-year anniversary. It's the 3 years since we started the Horse Radio Network, Helena and I, with the first Table Scoop radio show.
Wow, we have an anniversary coming up?
Yes, we do. 3 years doing this together. Every week, week in and week out.
No kidding. Okay. And we still don't know what we're doing.
No, still have no idea.
That's our charm.
If you ask us what guest we're having on next, we don't know. That's just what makes the show so good. It's so spontaneous. But that's 3 years coming up. So happy anniversary, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
And we will talk to you next week when we record our three-year anniversary show.
We will indeed. And I did promise a couple of friends to post some pictures on Facebook of my new knee.
Yes.
So, no, Jamie, I would suggest you not look at the photographs because
I'm
gonna they're a little graphic.
I'm going to block you right now.
Just block me. Some of them are okay, but Jamie, just stay away.
See, for some reason, I have a problem when it's – I'm the opposite of Jamie. I have a problem when it's the horses. People, I'm okay. I'm all right with that.
Oh, blood and guts on anybody else, you know, man or beast, no problem. But to look down at your own body and see it, like, desecrated, you know, I can't even give blood because to watch my own blood – flow out of my arm down a tube.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes. Happy breakfast,
bye.
Everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Helena.
Bye.
Good Lord, woman, I am done. My stomach hurts. I'm not going to
eat. Now you know what
eat.
I go through every Wednesday morning.
I didn't have any idea it was that bad, but yeah, I got it now. Okay, well, be careful. I'll handle all the horse.com at cards right now. Gross.
You even wrote on our notes, you wrote, I have to take my headphones off. Did you really have to take your headphones off?
Yeah. And then she started talking about the needle blocking everything. Oh, I took them off and I just waited for a pause and I put them back on. Yeah, it was gross. Can you handle it?
Well, on a different note, the last story of the day, and then we're going to have to get out of here, is the Mongol Derby began on Saturday. That is the longest, toughest horse race in the world. In Mongolia, the race runs 1,000 kilometers. There are 26 riders this year. 12 of the 26 are British, while other competitors are from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, Denmark, America, and Spain. They had 100 applications, and they chose 26. They have a range from polo players to endurance riders, eventers, point-to-point jockeys. And they're all very experienced riders, and they better be because they're going 1,000 kilometers. They're stopping at 25 different stations. They ride 25 different horses, and those are picked on a first-come, first-served basis. The earlier ones get their pick of the horses at the different stations. And it is definitely a massive sleep deprivation exercise. And you can actually, this year they did something a little different. Jennifer, you can post this link for me on the Facebook page. You can follow them across each one of them has a GPS unit, and they're all numbered, and they have a map on their website at theadventurous.com. You can follow each one of them on their progress across the 1,000 kilometers, and it's kind of cool because you can see where they're all spread out on the map, and they are really spread out today, just after 2 days. So it's kind of neat. There's some early pictures up there of them all taking off at the start line on their Mongolian horses as well. So it's all just kind of cool, and you can follow it right there on their website.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I could never imagine doing anything that tough. But these people, good luck to them. Whew.
And, you know, one of the guys riding in this race, his name is Richard Dunwoody, and he is a former jockey. But he just got done a challenge where he walked 1,000 miles in 1,000 hours. He just got done with that last month, and he's starting this race this month. Think he's in shape?
Okay, he's crazy. He's crazy is what he is. I'm thinking that's 1 mile per hour. That's no big deal. Wait, hold up. That's 1,000 in a row. How do you sleep?
He did, apparently. And, you know, one of the things that's unique about this race is they will actually be staying with people who live on the flats in Mongolia there. They'll be eating the locals' food. They'll be staying in the locals' camps. So it's you're out there. You're staying with the locals, and you're eating their food. So they estimate that the winner will come in after about 10 days.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. Round of applause to them. Hey, one more story before we go. This is because we're out of time. This free horses, 52 thoroughbred horses need homes. They're going to go to Sugar Creek this Saturday for slaughter. A guy died, and his son wants nothing to do with them. They're giving away 52 horses, broodmares, weanlings, yearlings, 2, 3 years old, all of them gelded, free, papered. This was true. It was not in Georgia or Florida or Alabama or wherever you have seen this on Facebook, because I don't know what happened. This thing started circulating again, Glenn. And if you recall, this actually happened last, I believe, November or December. And there was 52 horses. The story is totally true. All 52 horses found homes, okay?
This was in northern Ohio, actually. It was in Ohio. Yeah, that's where it was.
Exactly. It was in Ohio. And for some reason, I have gotten 25 Facebook posts Jamie, you have to help these horses. Like, they already all found homes. The good news is everybody's taken care of, everybody's happy, and there's even people that have been blogging about the new horses. Just know that I love that y'all's hearts are in the right place, and good news is everybody's taken care of. So stop posting this thing on my Facebook page.
I know. And, you know, Snopes even has gotten a hold of this. You know, Snopes is that website that tracks internet rumors and email rumors. And they've even gotten a hold of this now because it's made the rounds so often. It's done, people. It's over. The horses are safe. We're all good.
They're safe. Yeah, they're safe. Love you for thinking about it. There you go. So, everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld. Save the animals, save the horses. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Ride your horse, but with your helmet on. See you at Peelers.